All right, good morning, everybody. Here's a man that loves God's word, and not only that, has a real ability to teach it. So we're honored to have him here. So please, give him your full attention this morning.
Well, I never stopped to cease be amazed what God can do in a person's life. Just this is round three up here, and the fact that I had round one was still amazing to me. And every time I come up here, it doesn't matter how many times it's going to be, I'm always going to be humbled. I am super humbled today, again, to be able to be in front of such a fine group. But I want to thank God for the opportunity. I thank Bob for asking me to do this again. I'm sure Sandy was happy that I was able to do this again, running around the house, going crazy. But
2 weeks in the basement?
No. Don't give my secrets away. But first of all, I have something for Bob. I was thinking, the other day I was sitting in the kitchen drinking coffee, and I looked at the refrigerator. And Sandy, he always has these things, save the date. I mean, they're from years ago. They're all a thing. Yeah. And I was thinking, you know what? That's what Bob needs to do. Instead of just, you know, handing out, we get a sheet in the mail. I go, what you need to do is just send us save the date. So that way, Mark Hogan saved this date to teach on November 4th. So we got to remember that, brother. But
I'll take that into consideration.
Amen.
Thank you.
But last week, I was listening to Matthew teach back there, and he was doing such a good job. I'm thinking, because you know what? I feel sorry for the person that has to follow this guy. He's doing a great job. And then I had this revelation. I said, oh, that's me. So I kind of scared myself with that revelation. And then a few minutes later, I got a worse revelation than that. Matthew said, you know, I'm 22 years old. And I thought to myself, 22? I'm three times older than this kid. I go, are you kidding me? When did that all happen? Because this past Wednesday, I turned 66. So I'm thinking, man, I'm three times older than that guy. Just something's going on here, but... Yeah.
Okay.
What today's title is going to be, What You Don't Know Can Hurt You. Because, you know, we always hear from the world, what you don't know won't hurt you. And I think that is used to kind of get out of things. I don't know nothing, so, you know, it can't hurt me. There's a Greek word, agnosia. It's called knowing nothing. And that's pretty much is what I'm going to look into right now is some of scriptures of people that didn't know anything about God and they use that as an excuse. And my first example for knowing nothing is anybody that used to watch Hogan's Heroes. They had a Sergeant Schultz on there. And he'd be sitting there going, I know nothing, I see nothing, I hear nothing. So I try to find a video of Sergeant Schultz saying, I know nothing. And there's videos of him, but he's never saying, I know nothing. So I'm just thinking, did he ever even say it? But I seem to remember him saying that, so that's all good by me. I thought he did, so that was all good by me. And in Matthew 22:29, the Pharisees and that are talking with Jesus, and they ask him about marriage after the resurrection. And Jesus replies to them, you are an heir because you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. And the thing I noticed about that is he didn't say you didn't read the scriptures. And there's a big difference as we learn out. You can read all the scriptures you want, but if you don't know what you're reading, what's the difference? You're just, what do they talk about? You're just a ship without a rudder. You're just kind of flying around, floating around in the ocean. You're just trying to learn things as you go along. So it's very important when we do read the Bible is to have commentaries or things of that nature that we know to be true and not just read it, but, you know, ingest it. Get to know that word. And then in 1 John 3:1, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us because it does not know him. And that's, once again, we have to know what God has for our lives. We just can't just read and go willy-nilly through it. And the thing, you know, it's kind of funny because I've never done this before, but I started looking up some definitions and going through the Greek definitions and that. And the definition of know is, the first one is beware of through observation. I think as you came in today, everybody's seen the communion things down there. And so you're observing the communion, so you know that today is communion day. The next one was have knowledge or information concerning. We've been going to the church long enough here that you know, you have a knowledge that, you know, it's the first Sunday of the month, we're having communion. You don't have to see it. You don't have to notice it. You just know it for a fact. And then be absolutely sure or certain about something. Every first Sunday is communion. It's been that way. We've been going to this church for 14 years. It's been every Sunday, first Sunday of the month, is communion. So not only do we see it, not only do we hear about it, but we know today is communion day. So that's how we gain our knowledge and we pick it up. And then the Greek definition of know is, there's a couple. One is gnosis. It's seeking knowledge. And the knowledge we're seeking here, we're seeking spiritual knowledge. We don't care about man's knowledge. Because in 1 Corinthians 2, 7-8, no, we speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God has destined our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. So, just having worldly knowledge isn't good enough. We have to have that spiritual knowledge to help us, guide us through life. And the Latin, there's another word, epignosic, getting the knowledge. So first of all, we're seeking that knowledge, spiritual knowledge. That's what the gnosis means. But then the next one is we have that knowledge. Now we have that knowledge about God, and now we can live our lives that through it that way. And still, I'm still going to talk a little bit about people that don't know. Even Jesus on the cross, Luke 23:34, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. I know it was all in God's plan for Jesus to die on the cross, and that's the way it was. But these people were doing it, and Jesus is up there, forgive them because they know not what they do. So you're still dealing with people that don't know anything. They're back there, they're reading scriptures, all these Old Testament scriptures. I mean, they're buried in it. But they don't have that spiritual knowledge. They're not learning anything from it. They're still staying from the natural way. And the word know, known, or knowledge, in the NIV, it's in there 476 times. So obviously, I can't write it down 476 times. Just suffice to say, it's been in there a lot. The word is in there a long time. And then Acts 17:29-30. Therefore, since we are God's offspring, we should not think that the divine being is like gold or silver or stone, an image made by man's design and skill. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. So there was a time where, because you didn't have the knowledge, you didn't know, God was giving you forgiveness through the years. But once Jesus showed up on the scene and made that final sacrifice, ignorance no longer counts. You can't go up to God at judgment day and say, well, I didn't know. You know, it's ignorance is no longer an excuse not to know God or not to know Jesus. The New Testament emphasizes that knowing God is not simply an intellectual apprehension, but a response of faith and acceptance of Christ. That's when we start to get the real knowledge, is when we go to Jesus. And we the word there is talking about you can't know God unless you know Jesus first. That's all New Testament teaching, obviously, because Christ is there. So without accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior, we can't really know who God is. Everybody walks, yeah, I believe in God, I know God, but they don't really know God, because to know God, you have to know Jesus. Because it says in John 1:18, no one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. So the interesting thing here is, it says God's the one and only, and then in the very next sentence it says the one and only has let you know about God. So the scripture there is pretty much telling you God and Jesus are one and the same. Even though there's a Trinity, they're one and the same. So to know God, you have to know Jesus. 1 John 4:7, dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. There's another way we have knowledge of God, or we can know God, because we love him and he loves us. We can't just, once again, just say we have a basic knowledge of God and don't like anybody and dislike people and you don't have that love. And I'm not talking, there's certain Greek words in there that describe certain kinds of love, but the love we're talking about here is the ultimate love, that Jesus died for our sins and that we should love him to the same extent. I forget what that word, agape love or something. Agape, yeah. Yeah, okay. I thought that was it. I wasn't sure. But I try. Yeah, but, by the way, I invite comments. So anybody wants to stop me and make a comment, I have no problem with that. Yeah. Anything that's going to take up time, I'm all for it. You don't just shout it right out. Don't worry about You say whatever you want to say. I can sit back and take 5 minutes if you want. It doesn't bother me one bit.
Pastor Don has never been known for taking up time.
No. Oh, where's the mic? Does somebody have a mic?
No. I do, sir.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure that everybody hears.
I'm ready.
You know, the thing about it is there's instances in the Bible that people do know who God is and what's going on, but they still don't obey him. And this one's kind of long, but in Romans 1:28-32, furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, so it's what we're talking about here, they have a knowledge of God. They know all about what's going on, but they don't use it for any purpose. He gave them over to a depraved mind to do what they ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossipers, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree, they not only continue to do these things, but also approve of those who practice them. So here we got a group of people. They know all about God. They know about his righteousness. But, you know, there's something about knowing it and something about using it in your life and making it real in your life. And obviously, they didn't want to retain the knowledge. And God, you know, God doesn't play around. You don't want to retain my knowledge here. Okay, there you go. You do whatever you want. You know, if that's what you want to do, then that's what you want to be. But not that he'll ever totally wipe his hands clean of people, but it seems if you want to go your way, he's going to let you. Amen. You just have to know what's going on. And another thing, too, I've seen this one in here, and I kind of didn't know if it related or not, but I'm going to read it anyways. Romans 7:18. This is Paul speaking. I know that nothing good lives in me. That is my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do good, but I cannot carry it out. For what is good to do is not the good I want to do. No, the evil I do not want to do, I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is the sin living in me that does it. So here's Apostle Paul. Even in our own lives, we know we're not supposed to do certain things, but there's just, sometimes we do them anyways. And, you know, we repent of them and that, but we're always going to have that sinful nature in us that is going to affect us in everything we do. It's always going to be a fight. It's always going to be a battle with the flesh. But if we have the knowledge of God and we use that in our lives, we can overcome that sinful nature. Not that we'll be ever totally overcome it, but we can overcome it through Jesus.
Amen.
Look at the mic. Take your time, Bob. Take your time. No hurry. Don't get over there too quick.
But you feel like today we know we against the Bible even off. I'm sorry, but God's going to forgive me. And all of a sudden you fall into a habit of this. Oh, I can do this because God's going to forgive me. Yeah, he's going to forgive you. To me, I feel he's only going to forgive you so much, and then the hammer's going to come down.
That's the thing about they mentioned about sin is, sure, we're going to sin, but we're not supposed to continue to do the same sin over and over and over. Of course, there's that fight against the sinful nature all the time, but once again, by getting that knowledge and putting it into practice, we should be able to, one by one, defeat the certain sin in our life. Maybe, there's going to be new sins that are going to show up and things of that nature, but the same thing shouldn't drag us down over and over and over because there's no growth there. We're just stagnant, letting the same thing beat over us. It's like water on a rock. Eventually, it's just going to beat you down. You have to steer clear of that. Then we talk about knowing the Word. Ephesians 3:17. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. We can get enough knowledge, it says right here, that we can attain the fullness of God, which is pretty awesome when you think about it, that we can be put almost on the same level as God just by continuing to read his word, learning about the knowledge that he has for us. It's spectacular. Next key is to get knowledge, because we can't go out there and try and spread God's word without any knowledge. I mean, if I know nothing, pretty much Sandy knows, I'm not much of a handyman. I really don't know much about anything. So for somebody to come to me and ask me, put up this drywall? I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know. I know anything. When I got married, Sandy said, I had a screwdriver and a channel lock. That was pretty much, well, I had two screwdrivers, flathead and a Phillips.
And one of them was broke.
Yeah, and channel locks. But that's the thing, and I always told Sandy, you know what, if we need something done, I'll pay somebody to do it. I don't know. As a fireman, you know, I was supposed to have two jobs. That's what Sandy said. You know, these guys are working two jobs. Why don't you work two jobs? I don't want to. I mean, hey, one's good enough for me. And I always tell Sandy, goes, you go out and get a job. Yeah. I mean, if I'm only going to work 9, 10 days a month, then guess what? I'm going to take those 21, 22 days and do nothing. I have no problem with that. And I'd always tell Sandy, goes, you know what? Sandy goes, you know, why don't you get a second job like everybody else? I said, you know what, darling? You get one job, and then I'll think about maybe getting a second job. But I think that's true. Yeah, I think that's the main reason Sandy retired when she did back in 1988. I would have so many days off. Sandy would get up and go to work, and then the next day she'd get up, go to work. The next day she'd get up and go to work, and I'm just. Bye, dear. And I'd wake up, you know, and I'd open the door for her, let her go out to work. And, I mean, within 1 minute, I'm in bed sleeping. Well, 1 minute and 5 seconds later, the phone's ringing. Are you up? What? Yeah, I'm up. Are you going, or did you go back to bed? No, I'm up. So I think eventually it just wore her out that she couldn't take the fact that I'm just working 9 days a month, and she's going through the struggle every single day, going to work, deciding what to wear. And then I remember one day she asked, she goes, do you mind if I retire? He goes, praise God, I'd be the happiest man in the world. You go right ahead and retire. I got promoted to sergeant, and I was able to make a few extra dollars. And so, I mean, we've been blessed. Go ahead, brother.
I could totally add to that story.
Hang on.
Come on. Hey.
I just want to say, of the story. Hogan's defense...
My man.
Him and Sandy are people... since I've been here, that I look up to a lot because
thanks,
they are huge servants in this
Amen.
Body.
Yes, sir.
I see them a lot of times put themselves down to serve here a lot. And those are people that I looked up to and tried to mimic and mirror. And Hogan, whenever he helped me in the kitchen on women's breakfasts, sometimes it was just me and him. And that man... I was like, man, I want to be strong like that when I'm his age. You know, that's what I thought. You know, so.
What do you mean?
I know. Yeah.
Well, 91. Come on. He's young when you compare him to Bob. You know what I mean?
Uh-oh.
but compared to me, I know I'm young. You know, and I'm hoping to be like that in the next 20 years. You know, so.
Yep. Well, hey, I don't know what to say, brother. Thanks a lot for that. And you know, you're just getting more and more points because when we first. Came in, I walked in the kitchen, I told Eli and Ricardo, I said, you know what, make sure you're a little bit late. You know, take your time, get it out there about 10 after 9, and that's good, because I only have about 20, 25 minutes in here, so let's extend it a little more. So you're just getting more points from me, brother. You know, I love you, and I thank you for those kind words. And I can only give glory to God for whoever I am or whatever I am is because God has done it. It's got nothing to do with me. If it was up to me, I'd be at home sleeping, trust me. But because God has worked his Holy Spirit through me and giving me enough grace to be able to be here and even talk to people is fantastic to me, and I just love being up here with it. And I'm gonna.
We love hearing you.
Amen. But once, like I was saying, we need to know our scriptures when we go out to see people. And I just use the story of Philip and the Ethiopian. The Holy Spirit led Philip to be with this Ethiopian. He's sitting there reading the book of Isaiah, and he asked Philip. You know, Philip asked him what he's doing. And if Philip didn't know anything, there goes, there goes an opportunity lost. This Ethiopian wants to get saved. He wants to, you know more about God. But if Philip doesn't know anything, then he's just going on. I mean, we don't want to miss the opportunity to help somebody accept Christ because we lack the knowledge or the know-how. We certainly don't have to be scriptured scholars or geniuses. I mean, there's some basic scriptures in here that you can just use all the time. And lead people to Christ or tell them about God, tell them about Jesus, and tell them about the stories in the Bible. But we have to have enough knowledge that we help these people out, that they just don't walk away and go, that guy doesn't know anything. Why do I even bother going to this guy? And was it make yourself approved, a workman worthy of his, Okay, and help memorize scriptures might help too. So the thing is, not knowing things, there was a time when that was okay. But like it's said there, God doesn't accept ignorance anymore. Since Jesus Christ showed up on this earth, there's no longer that excuse that you don't know, I don't know. You're not going to be standing up front of God and telling you, I don't know. That's why I always try to make a point of talking to people, or if somebody's in the hospital that I know, and it's not always easy going to the hospitals and visiting people. But the thing about it is, I made a mistake years and years ago that a friend of mine was very sick. And I knew he was dying. He lived like two blocks away from me. And I kept saying, yeah, I'll go talk to him. And I never did. And he died. And that, you know, this is like 25, 30 years ago. And it's kind of stuck in the back of my head. I mean, it's back there. But whenever somebody is in a hospital or somebody I know is sick, I try to make a point of going to see them. Because I don't want to go before the Lord when it comes time to be judged and have somebody standing over there going, why didn't you tell me? Or somebody's going, you know, whatever the case may be, however you want to envision it, going down into hell, God, you know, tells you, hey, go away. And I don't want that person to look back at me and say, why didn't you tell me? You had that opportunity to tell me. Why didn't you do that? And I'm sure once, you know, you get into heaven, those things will be put behind you. But I don't even want that moment to be there. And so, you know, that's something that's kind of stuck in the back of my head for quite a long time. And it's to this day, it still kind of bothers me that I didn't do it. Because I golfed with this guy. I knew this guy. He was actually almost, you know, he was Rouge related to me. Somewhere down the line, we were connected somewhere. Because everybody in Rouge is just connected to one another one way or another. So it's key. You got to have that knowledge. And not only have it, you have to use that knowledge for the good of God and the glory of God. But what I want to do is, I just want to veer off just for a few minutes. So I have this notebook here, and in 5 days, it'll be the 23rd anniversary of my sister Mary dying. She's 49. If it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be standing here. And, you know, she's always meant a lot to me, and I've mentioned her before in my teachings, my, I don't know, the Holy Spirit teaching, not me. But when she was diagnosed with breast cancer, she got through it one time, and then the second time, she didn't want to fight it anymore. Goes, that's it. I don't want this chemotherapy. I want to go be home. I want to go home. And then it metastasized into her brain. And she was bad. It was really bad. It was really sad. And what I did for her is I made a notebook because she couldn't really read anything. She was just, you know, I don't know. I can't say, hey, have you ever had brain cancer? It's not like, hey, have you ever had the measles? But she wasn't in a good place. She just really wasn't. So what I did is I put together this notebook of, you know, verses that I could just sit and read to her or that she could read. And the unfortunate part about it is she passed away before I was ever able to give it to her. So just recently I found this thing. It's got to be 23, 24 years old. And what I want to do is, if nobody minds, is in her honor, I just want to read some of these verses. Just, and not so much just to everybody here, but to her too. And some of the things, salvation. So if you don't mind, I just want to read some of these verses because I know these verses to be true for a fact. I've seen it happen in my own life. I've seen it happen in people in here. So the verses I'm reading aren't just some fairy tale. These are verses that we know to be fact because we've experienced, we've lived it, we know it. And under salvation, for God so loved, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And what you find here, as I read, I started thinking, I goes, this must have been a long time ago because that's when I was reading the King James Bible. And now, you know, amen. But as I was reading these things, I goes, wow, this is what I read back there. And this is, I mean, I have pages and pages of things. And it just, you know, I almost want to cry just thinking about her, not her being able to do any of this. Acts 4:12. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. And then the next thing was comfort, and it's, you know, she really needed some comfort, and we all need comfort. Hey, I need some comfort right now, trust me. But Romans 5:4. That we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And that was when she was diagnosed with brain cancer. We were in Seaway, I think. And the doctor come up to me and goes, yeah, you know, it's metastasized to her brain. She might have like 5 or 6 weeks to live. He goes, I'm going to go in and tell her. He goes, oh, no, 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 you're not. I'm going in there and telling her. So I went there by myself. I sat down and we looked and I was talking to her and we prayed a little bit. I said, you know, it goes, it's metastasized into your brain and you might have like 5 or 6 weeks to live. And she looked at me and she smiled. She goes, ain't that a bee? You know, she, with a big laugh. So, and she just, I don't know. She's my role model. It's simple as that. I mean, I love her to death. And if I can be half the Christian she was, it'd be a blessed life, trust me. Psalm 71:21, thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. So once again, I know I said it. I'm reading this. I'm glad you people, you're listening. I'm reading this to my sister. Grace. Romans 3:24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Jesus Christ. Amen. Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. And the way she faced death, let me know that there is a God. Let me know, because she was tough. It didn't bother her. She was almost looking forward to going to heaven and to being with her Lord and Savior. Spiritual growth. Obviously, at that time, she wasn't able to experience any more physical growth, but the spiritual, she was strong. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. Even on her deathbed, her brain cancer, she was increasing in the knowledge of God. She just prayed and prayed and prayed, and just the way, I mean, she lived on 4th Street, and there was an apartment. It's facing out west. She goes, why are you moving here? She goes, I want to see God, you know, when the time comes. And she just started giving all her stuff away. And so it was near then that the brain cancer was starting to take over big time, and she just, you know, she just totally lost it. And Galatians 5:16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And that's how we fight against the flesh, is through knowledge. We don't... We can't fight the flesh on our own knowledge. We need God's knowledge in our body, our heart, our mind, our soul. Jesus, our intercessor. 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Hebrews 7:25. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the utmost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercessions for us. And that's the great thing about Jesus. He's up there. He's interceding for us. He's interceding for our lack of knowledge. Because no matter how smart you are, no matter how much knowledge you get, you don't have it all. And we all need Jesus, no matter how smart we are. So to know that we have an intercessor up there is fantastic. That's the kind of knowledge I want to have, that I know that there's somebody up there fighting for me, keeping God's judgment off me, because I'm covered by the blood. Power in the blood. Amen. Christian fellowship. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good walks, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I know when I first got saved, my uncle, he was a Christian, and he had a Bible study. He went through the Catholic seminar, and he had some bad experiences. And he would always preach against the evils of the church. You know, can't go to church, can't go to church, can't go to church. So I would go to him, and finally it got to me, I said, that's not right. I mean, through the Old Testament or New Testament, it's local church. That's all it talks about is local church. And as far as I'm concerned, if you don't belong to a church, there's so much knowledge that you're missing out on. I mean, I look out here and there's knowledge out. There's knowledge everywhere I look out here that helps me in my walk. And I hope what little knowledge I have can help people in their walk. But the local church is huge. You have to belong to a local. And I don't mean just go to church. I mean belong to a church. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. That's it. Prayer. I mean, is there anything more important than prayer? Ephesians 6:18, praying always. I like that. Praying always. Not just sometimes. With all prayer, supplication in the Spirit, and watching therefore with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. We need to pray for each other bad. That's how you grow knowledge. That's how you learn to grow. That's how you learn to communicate with God. Maybe you start off, I know when I started praying, I didn't know what to say. You know, I was so And I still try to say with a certain reverence, but you can, you don't have to be that reverent. You can just sit down. I've learned, and you just sit and talk to God. It's like he's sitting next to you. I mean, that's not something that maybe you do all the time. But there's a certain thing, but there's a certain progression of how to pray to God. And without prayer, I mean, what's the sense? Why even have a God? Why even have a Savior if you're not praying for people or you're praying for his guidance and his direction? 1 Peter 3:12, for the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Well, so I got enough knowledge to know not to do evil. I mean, that's pretty basic. Don't do evil. You don't have to worry about that. Trust. Psalm 118:8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. I think we've all experienced in life where we put our confidence in somebody or we expect them to do something, and the next thing you know, boom, we're sitting there by ourselves. The person that said they're going to help you doesn't show up, or they don't do what they're going to do. And I know a lot of people, I don't have any trust in humanity anymore. Well, that's a good thing. Good. I'd rather you have trust in God than confidence in men, says so right in the Word. Not that there's wrong with having some confidence. I have confidence in every single person in this room, I'll tell you that. I have no doubt that if I needed something, that you would all be there to help me. That's something I know for a fact. Proverbs 29:25, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but those who putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. That's trust, safe. That's pretty easy. Strength. Jeremiah 16:19a, O Lord, my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction. You know, I've noticed here, I was a pretty good handwriter back then. I mean, today, now I have a little bit of shakes, and I can barely even sign a check anymore without scribbling or scratching it. But now that I'm looking at this, I was pretty good. What's the old saying? You know, the older you get, the better you used to be. So I'm trying to pat myself in the back. I just can't get it. But like I said, they have that old saying, the older you get, the better you used to be. But here's living proof right here. I was a pretty good writer. I can't even print now. It's terrible. Isaiah 11:12. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength, my song. He also has become my salvation. I think this is a great thing. And I just feel bad that she was never able to read any of this or do any of it. But I know we'll talk about it one of these days. She knew. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, there's always certain scriptures that stick in your mind. This one always sticks forward in my mind. That while we were yet sinners, he died for us. We didn't deserve anything, but this Son of God came down out of heaven, out of glory, to come down here and die on the cross. I mean, he didn't die. He was crucified for me. I was, and that's what Paul says, the biggest of sinners. I mean, I'm not saying I'm the biggest sinner, but I didn't play sometimes when it came to sin. And it's not a good thing, but hey, that's the way it was. And I like that word was. It's the way it was. Ephesians 3:19, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth no wonder I stopped reading that, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. That's what we talked about before. You can be full of God. I know in the natural and before, there's the before Christ, I was full of something. It just wasn't full of God, that's for sure. Hebrews, I'll finish off with praise. This is something we need to do all the time. Hebrews 13:15. By him let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. And this is the last thing I put in there for her. Revelations 19:5. And a voice came out of the throne saying, praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I just want to thank you for bearing with me while I read this. This is something I wasn't able to do 23 years ago. I just thank everybody for allowing me to do it now. And just once again, I thank Bob for asking me to do this. I know I'm not really a perfectionist in anything, actually. But it just seems I drive myself crazy sometimes. And Sandy goes, you're driving yourself crazy. It's just that I don't want to come up here and just give some mealy-wheely kind of thing and get it over with. I just, I try to put a little effort into it and try to make it sound like I actually know what I'm talking about. But I just, once again, I thank Bob. I thank everybody for being here and listening. Most of all, I thank the Holy Spirit for working through me. And I've said this before, if any teachable moment came out of this last half hour, it wasn't from me. It was from the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. Give him a hand. Hi. Hold on. Everybody hang 1 minute. I have to correct you on one thing.
Amen.
When you started, you just had problems saying that you're a teacher. You started giving the Holy Spirit credit. Of course, he deserves it. But you do have that gift. Never, never doubt that. With honor, say that I am a teacher of God's word. That's something to be proud of.
Amen.
He chose
Thanks,
you,
brother.
Not on your ability, but your love for mm-hmm. him.
Thank you.
You know, Mark, as you were going through that notebook, you said you were never able to share that, you know, with your sister. And, you know, there's a lot of times we never get to share things with people that we love. And But I couldn't help but think, you know, how much you loved her by taking the time just to write those things down. And though you thought you may have never shared them with her physically, those were prayers that were being offered up to God. You know, as you were saying, you know, forgiveness. And, you know, you could see your heart. These were things that you wanted to share with her. And, you know, and God, we know that God works things through different circumstances, and sometimes we can beat ourselves down. But I think, you know, as you were reading that, it was just like, you know, here's the heart of Mark, who loved his sister and wanted to share something so precious, all these different areas that, you know, and it's, and you know, because you self-examination when you read those things.
Mm-hmm.
And as you were reading that, too, I couldn't help but think of Fred's. Come here, Fred.
Sneak away, brother.
Yeah, you ain't going nowhere, brother. Yeah. But when Fred's sister passed away, she left the family a note, you know, and she gave it to me. And I just thought, you know, Fred shared, you know, what that meant to him, because sometimes when you do express those words, I mean, it can mean, you know, the world. And sometimes we don't get that opportunity to tell someone. Mm-hmm. I was thinking too of my dad. You know, he had Alzheimer's and dementia. And, you know, I told him before that I loved him, but sharing anything with him, it just right. never would have stuck. But, Fred, just share real quick, you know, what that letter that your sister wrote before she passed and what she had to say about you and what it meant.
Mark, I would say one thing.
Yes,
I think writing that book was as much for you as it was for your sister.
Well, I don't just read it. I mean, I read two scriptures, but each section had like two pages of it. But just reading it right now, it has built me up, and it just gave me a joy.
All right, yeah, because when you first started talking about that, and you said how emotional you was, I mean, it, you know, I know how you feel.
Amen.
And but she wrote this she wrote this letter to, like, each one of her siblings and sister-in-laws and stuff, just how she seen them through life. And the funny thing is, she wrote a first letter. You know, maybe I shouldn't bring this up, but her husband said, well, you can't write that letter. Because I guess it was, like, you know, what she really thought of a couple people, you know. So, you know, and so she, and I started laughing. I said, I want to read that letter. They said, no, that letter is destroyed, I guess. But, you know, this is before she really started getting sick. And so I believe that, you know, the Lord, you know, even in that time, maybe corrected her or you know, didn't have a hardened heart at that time. So she actually wrote a letter, and hope I can do this.
Amen. You can do it, brother.
When she got to me, she just said that she just seen the Lord to me. You know, and I was like, I didn't go into there like, I'm going to tell my sister about the Lord. I'm going to, you know, this is my plan. You know, I just went and it's the Holy Spirit, because every time we always got into the talking about the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just happened like that. And so I guess I don't remember exactly what the words were, but she said it was an aura about me. You know, but, you know, like you said, somebody that don't really have full knowledge of what that is, well, it's the Spirit of God.
Right.
Yeah. Amen.
You know, the world would think it's like an aura or, you know, it's, you know, whatever they, you know, whatever they put it as, but, you know, that's, so when she, I mean, I couldn't do nothing but cry, you know, but that was, in that, she blessed me,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Amen.
Even in that time. You know, when I couldn't do nothing for her, she does something for me. So.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So that's about it.
Amen. Thank you, Fred. Thank you.
Thanks, brother.
Who would you like to close for you, brother?
My wife.
Your wife.
Please. Oh, I'm sorry, Sandy.
Whoa, thank you, Father. Thank you for that word. We thank you for bringing Mark out there today, Lord, to tell us all about your word. We thank you for it, Lord, and we ask that when we go downstairs that we get filled with the Holy Spirit and that the music would be awesome as always. And we ask as we go about our day and our week that we think of you, Lord, and that we get our knowledge to go forward, like Mark said, to have knowledge is strength. And we thank you for the strength you give us, Lord. And we thank you for the word. And we thank you for the breakfast. Yes. And we thank you for all of our blessings. In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.